Please pray with me for a moment. Heavenly Father, as we begin on this time now, I pray that you would use me as you will. May your Spirit speak boldly from your pages and from your word today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. Well, here's my sermon. I lost it. It's a long one today. No, just kidding. Yesterday, I was on my way to work. You know, I had enough time, but I was hungry, and I just wanted hash browns. You ever just want hash browns? I just wanted some hash browns. So I'm on my way to work. I hit the drive-thru, and I'm going through the line here, and I make my order. I order hash browns. So then I go over to the, you know, she says, okay, pull around. So I get my wallet out. My dad gave me a brand new wallet last week. I've had a duct tape wallet. Duct tape wallets have a problem. If you make up yourself, the tape slides and your stuff starts to stick together. And so my dad gave me a brand new aluminum wallet. It's supposed to be, keep it from, you know, people have these scanners that could read your credit cards walking by you and all these things. It's supposed to protect you from all that. But the best part is, everything's protected. So I ordered my hash browns. I pull in the line and I open my wallet. So I opened the wallet there. There I am looking there, and I found my debit card. And here I am looking through the wallet, and I'm kind of fishing through, and I can see here's my PayPal debit card. I don't have credit cards anymore after all my other financial problems. But so I'm looking at my PayPal debit card, and I'm sitting there in line, and this is how my brain works, just flitting like a butterfly from place to place to place. And on my PayPal debit card, I have taped a little memory card that I found in one of my old phones, and I didn't want to lose it, so I taped it to that. And then it kind of lost in my own little world at that moment. And the lady says, that'll be X amount of dollars. I'm like, oh, okay. So then I reach in, I pulled out my card, hand it to the nice lady, and I look back down. I'm just thinking, you know, whatever thoughts are going on. She goes, oh, sir, you handed me your driver's license. Well, from the backside, it looks the same as my debit card. You can't really tell. So I had a good laugh about that, but the thing was, that wasn't the only thing that happened this week. The day before, it's Thursday, normal day, every day, every other Thursday when we get paid. I wake up on every other Thursday, I go to my phone, I check my email to see if the deposit was made. It was there, life is good, so I went on into work, and we were having a great day. You know, got all the way up to like 3 o'clock, and all of a sudden somebody comes in and says, I'm here to pick up my paycheck. And I looked at her like, I said, today's not payday. She goes, oh, when's payday? I said, tomorrow. Then I looked at the calendar, I'm like, it was payday. So on Thursday, it's my job to pick up the paychecks and the check stubs for people who have direct deposit on my way into work, and then go in the office and hand them out to people. So it's the kind of week I've been having. I was going to ask Marilyn, is this what happens? I'm not that old yet, but here I am. I've got cheaters on, and I've got the beginnings of senior moments now. Busy, 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 busy. I'm always busy. I'm always surrounding myself with busyness. And I have my fear, my greatest fear, is that my brain is like this little shelf. Imagine like a little shelf about this big. And you keep piling stuff on the shelf until you can't pile one more thing on there. And then something comes along and you put another thing on that shelf, something's going to fall off on the other side. It would be so easy to miss the forest when you're looking at the trees. You know, what was one of the quotes that said, it'd be really easy to, when you're out searching for the stars, to miss the moon, to be so busy with things that you lose your focus. And that's one of my issues. I have to really focus on the task at hand and keep... The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. Someone had given me some scriptures a while back, And they told me that these were the devil's favorite scriptures. I'm struggling with my microphone today. It's okay. He said that these were the devil's favorite scriptures. The first one comes from from Psalm 66. This is verse 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. The next one is very similar to that. It's Isaiah 59. I thought they told me 58, but apparently it's 59. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. And the last one they pointed out was from Hebrews. Hebrews 10, verse 26 says, "For if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there is no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation will devour the adversaries." If that's the only scripture that you knew, that's the only scriptures you focused on, I think we'd all be goners, wouldn't we? What's your natural response to that? I'm curious. Mine is 1 John 1:9. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that not true? Did God not mean what he said here in Hebrews? Did he not mean what he said in Isaiah or in Psalms? How serious is God about sin? How much of it can we partake of and be okay? How much foolishness and flim-flammery can we be involved in? There's willful sin, and then there's other sins where we just get so clouded with junk that we lose our focus. That's where I am. Admittedly, I'm there too much. And then there's the things that we're willing to live with and say, well, it's all right. Is it? It cannot be. Moses was removed. Moses was denied going into the promised land because of something that appeared to be small. And even in 1 John 1:9, we just read this. Let me go back here. Forward this way. First John 1:9. This is what we say, you know, if we sin, we can go back to God. He'll cleanse us. He'll forgive us. He'll make us right. But in the context of that was written, verse 5, this is the message that we have heard unto him and declare to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. There is no sin with God. There is no sin in heaven. That's where we're citizens of. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. If we walk in the light as he is the light, we have fellowship with one another and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Do little things matter to God? They do. Indeed, they do. Think about the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. Going to Calvary. The suffering that he laid down for us. The life that he lived. The perfect life. Now think about this for a moment. Adam was put in the garden and he was told, okay, do not eat of that tree. That's the only thing he had to worry about. Okay, so when Jesus was born, he was born into this world and he had all the muck of this world, the curse that was laid upon us, the whole temptations and the whole everything that you struggle with, he knows what that's all about. And for 33 years, he faithfully fulfilled every law of God. For 33 years, he suffered every indignation, and he did it for you. He had a passion for you. He had a love for you. That's what sin costs. And we get so caught up in the, I just want hash browns. We get caught up in the muck and the grime of this world. We see the bad people and planes being shot out of the sky. I just was thinking about how important it is that we do the simple things. God means what he says and says what he means. To sin and to be bad, or to say, well, this is okay and that's not okay. Well, at what point do we have to take that seriously? This is Hebrews. My poor Bible. I've worn it out. Says this, for if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation for those who devour their adversaries. It just occurs to me that God is willing to forgive you. He is willing to give you eternal life. He is willing to give you all the desires of your heart. There was nothing he wouldn't do to make sure you have that experience in your life, to know him. That's our greatest treasure in this life, is to know him. Not to know about him, not to go to the place where we sing, and our musicians are fantastic, but that's not why we do this. It's so that we may know him. It just seems to me, and I guess the sermon is for me as much as it is for anybody, is the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. Sometimes we have to go back to basics. Are we doing it right? When things go sideways at work, one of the questions we ask is, what could we have done to make this better? Is there some place along the line that, you know, and something happens at work and somebody, we lose them as a client or whatever, we ask, well, is there something that you did or I did that was wrong? And we're living in a time where we're seeing prophecy fulfilled right before our very eyes. The midnight cry is upon us. I was looking at I was up on Facebook, and Facebook is, I'll admit, the dumbest place on earth. And people, it really is. They put pictures of what they had for breakfast and everything else up there. But there's a few of us that are up there, and we're trying to get the message out through social networks, what's happening. And Doug Batchelor's up there, and he's saying today, yesterday, how shocked that he is that Seventh Avenue are so quiet and lackluster about the things that are happening around us. So, there's been a lot of stuff going around the world now lately about keeping Sunday sacred and calls to not work and all this. And this is the things that we've been preaching from this pulpit for 150 years. It's been one of the hallmarks that Jesus is coming soon. It's one of the hallmarks that one of the waymarkers that it's coming quickly. So, I'm a good little soldier. I posted on Facebook. But when you post something, when you say something, people don't always understand what you said. If I say this, people hear it with the filter of their own mind. Okay, so here I posted this thing about Sunday sacredness and how there's a call being going out, and it's going everywhere. I'm shocked. The National newspapers are picking this up. Even the Ottawa Times had an article. I was going to bring it. Had an article about how we should, something of the guy was commenting on Sunday sacredness and all that. So, okay, my good little soldier, I posted it up on Facebook. And a friend of mine from school, a saint, not a Seventh Adventist, a saint, just, she's one of those people that they're a Christian and you know it. She never once told me ever that she was a Christian, and you know it. I love people like that. I just love people like that. So I put this thing up about Sunday sacredness and how it talks about, you know, family time and this and that. And her reply was, yes, I know. People just don't take the sacredness of it. And, you know, and so basically they're following the line of what the Sunday sacredness is all about. And so then yesterday I was in this valley of decision. Okay. So I could just agree with her and say, yep, mm-hmm, that'd be right. Because she wasn't right. I mean, she was right. We should take family values. We should take time to spend with each other. We should take time to spend out with God. That's great. That's really great. Or I could take the other fork in the road and be the Seventh Day Adventist kook and say, okay, Saturday's the Sabbath and we need to take it seriously. And I got to tell you, I don't really want to be the kook. I don't. 4:45 on Friday afternoon, I'm ready to shut my computer down. I want to go home, and I'm in this valley of decision. Okay, do I be the kook and tell the truth, or do I let it go? I thought, you know what? I got to be true to God here. I have to do the right thing. So, as tactfully as I possibly could, I wrote out a response to my friend. And said that basically Seventh-day Adventists aren't always good at getting their message out. One that I am, and went on to tell her that Saturday is the Sabbath, and how the fourth commandment tells us who God is and who our Creator is. Specifically says who our Creator is in the fourth commandment, and that when we start monkeying with the law of God, little bits here and there, it has huge consequences. And I even went so far as to say that it's this movement that will usher in the man of sin 666. I went full on kook. I used to make fun of people like that. People that saw the helicopters flying over. I don't know. I'm becoming that person, but we're living in a time where I don't think we have time just to do the 27 fundamental beliefs with them before we can say what's happening. And the fact remains, God abhors sin. He doesn't want us to live outside of His kingdom or His realm. He's trying to give. He gave us this book so that we may know Him, so that we can know what His kingdom is like and how to live our lives. This is our textbook, and heaven is our home. I love this building, but in heaven, I'm not going to miss it. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard what the Lord has prepared for us. Can you imagine, Miss Winifred? If the Lord says to you, play me a song. I thought about that once. You and Jesus had an audience and He asked you to play. Would you do it? Think about that. Heaven is our home. We're just visitors here. And if you have to be the kook, you have to be the weirdo, do it tactfully, please. But the time is now. We're seeing prophecies fulfilled right before our very eyes. Sin is a very important thing. And Jesus is more than willing to forgive you. As long as you're communicating, you're reaching out, you're saying, please, Lord, be Lord of my life. He'll be more than happy to come in and do that for you. Your life isn't perfect? Neither is mine. Not even close. But you know what? I haven't given up. And I'm letting the Lord work. And I pray that you are too. I ran across a quote this week. It's from Mike Tyson. Actually, I ran across it last Friday. This is Mike Tyson. He says, "Everybody has a plan until you get punched in the face." These times are changing. This life that you have now is comfortable. It can turn on a dime. The world events are just crazy right now. The world is preparing for Jesus to return again. And we, above all, should be just rejoicing and sharing that. To be so full of Christ that people, you wouldn't even have to tell anybody you're a Christian. That's my prayer. That I wouldn't have to tell anybody that I'm a Christian. They'll just know. And I think above all else, we got to fight through the busyness. Busy, busy, busy. Because remember, my brain's only this big. Maybe this big. And the shelf, you keep putting things on the shelf, things keep falling off. If Jesus isn't in the center, it's no good. One of my marketing heroes is Billy Mays, the OxyClean guy. I love him. I just love him, you know. Turn that, well, that's Zig Ziglar. Turn that frown upside down. I could just see Billy Mays saying that. I just wish that he was openly a Christian. The message today would have been respect and reflect. Turn. The time is now to take God's word in to your heart. Have you read your Bible lately? Do it more. If you're praying, pray more. Times are now. And the world, this everything, this prophecies that we've been saying are coming, they're going on beside us and nobody says a word. You know what I got? My response, my friend of mine, I responded back to them and I got a little like, check mark, like, silence. So I don't know which is worse, to have a long discussion about explaining the Sabbath and this, that, and the other thing, or just silence. I don't know. But I'm going to pray. God finds sin terrible. Jesus went to an amazing length to save us. And that, our Mr. Chapman always talks about his dream car, what I think was like a 1954 Ford, I think he said. He's not here today to defend himself, so I can pick on him. 1954 Ford. Could you imagine if Mr. Chapman, he bought all the parts and he found a car and he restored it and he made it this car perfect and he put in his, you know, huge amounts of his savings and he got this thing so it was just perfect and then he gave it to somebody. Would he be interested in how it was taken care of afterwards? Would he want you to run over shopping carts in Walmart with that or... Think about, there's a quote I ran across one time that says that the angels marvel about, you know, the angels in heaven, they cover their mouth and they look down and they're in awe and reverence all the time around the Father. And we're like, "Hey, Lord, how you doing?" They look at us and they wonder. In a long, really convoluted, complicated way of what I'm trying to say today. Just take your faith seriously. Pray. The times we're living in are monumental. Things are going to change rapidly, and we need to be ready. Your citizenship is in heaven, and He has a plan for you. He has a way for you. He has the strength that you need. He has given you everything. All we have to do say is, "Yes, Lord, yes." So what will you do? take it serious. Take it serious. Take it serious. Amen. Our closing hymn today is Amazing Grace. I think the greatest tragedy on Thursday was, and just so you know, I like my job, but I do it for a paycheck. I don't do it because, I don't know, it's not a ministry. I do it for a paycheck. So here we were, Thursday afternoon, and it was payday, and I didn't even know it. Payday was upon me, and I didn't even know it. Heaven is this close away from us. We need to live like it is. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you, and may he give you peace. And the church said,